This is Greater LA on KCRW, the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. Hey there, I'm Steve Chiotakis. After a year and a half and a pandemic that's left so many people at home and on their computers and laptops, today it's back to school at LAUSD.
And last time I was in KYCC and it was so much fun.
Now, this time last year, as students went back to class, there was no traffic, no hubbub, no lunchboxes or scared kindergartners clinging to parents or excited high school seniors ready to finish out their high school career, only Zoom and a lot of fear about COVID-19. So it is a triumph to even have school doors open right now. All schools are opening up with full capacity 5 days a week. But as Interim Superintendent Megan K. Riley said in last week's welcome address to students,
I think all of us know inside that this year will be again unlike any other.
Weekly COVID tests, masks, social distancing, plexiglass around lunch tables. What else will the school year bring? Let's start with some LAUSD parents. Dana Rosenthal is a parent with two kids at LAUSD. Arash Farron dropped his two kids off at school earlier today. And Misty LeGrand dropped her kindergartner off for her first day at school. And I want to thank you all.
Thank you, Steve.
Yes, thank you for having us. It's a pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Misty LeGrand, I want to start with you. First time for your daughter starting kindergarten. Are you glad the school is open? I mean, many parents last year kept their kids back a year to avoid starting kindergarten online.
No, absolutely. We did have an intention last year to attend LAUSD TK, but elected to keep our daughter an additional year of preschool because the school was open. We felt that, you know, the virtual option for us and our child just wasn't manageable. So I'm absolutely thankful that things seem to be back on track and she's going to school in person this year.
You know, LAUSD has implemented this, it's called a daily pass system, and it allows students into school. It's this QR code for each student that shows that they recently tested negative for COVID and answered no to any COVID-19 symptoms or exposure. But that means instead of students streaming in the front door, everyone's screened into school one by one, which I would imagine means a lot of lines and things like that. We've heard reports that there were thousands of cases where the system didn't work. No COVID test results, no QR code, a website that overloaded, schools with hour-long lines of hundreds of students. How did it work for you?
Well, I think we were really fortunate. Our school had sent out a letter a couple of weeks ago with our daughter's ID information with instructions to how to log into the portal. And they had testing on site last Thursday, which in actuality ended up being a really good experience because our daughter had never, being a kindergartner, had never been to the school before. So that was her first experience sort of walking through the doors and understanding that, you know, this was an okay place to be. But as far as the daily pass system, I found it shockingly easy to use. I logged in last night and just the results were already there, and it took maybe 1 or 2 minutes to get the daily pass. And I'd heard from other parents that the internet connection at the school could be a little challenging at times, and the suggestion was to take a screenshot. So I took a screenshot of the daily pass, and there was an assistant on site today that was scanning the passes, and it went surprisingly very quickly.
Did anyone else have any delays getting their kids into school with that QR code? I'll ask you, Arash.
Yes. We did it last night. It actually didn't work. So my daughter's results were not in the system, but we know she had a test and we're pretty confident it was negative. But the school was good about it. You know, we did a verbal exam this morning and there weren't any lines. It was so exciting to see all the parents' smiles on their faces, kids taking selfies. So all in all, it was fine. It didn't work for me, but we'll get that ironed out. I think it's a triumph of our school system to actually be open today, and that's the thing we're focused on.
Dana, how about you? You got two kids at LAUSD. How did that go?
Yeah, I actually tried the daily pass this morning, and like you said, it was overloaded with people trying to log on. But then I tried it again, and it did work. I also have to say, at my school, we decided to go super early today, but It was very smooth, the line. Everybody seemed to know exactly what to do, and I want to give kudos to my specific school because I'm on other chat groups, and I'm hearing that some of these parents they're still standing online and school already started.
How do you think your kids are going to do wearing masks all day? That's another, obviously a piece of the protocol.
You know, I'm a parent, but I've been very active for almost a full year now. I was overcome with so many emotions of seeing my children go back to school. I'm celebrating, and I'm just praying that, the schools will remain open and don't shut down. I'll do whatever it takes. If they say masks inside, I understand that. But what we don't understand is the mask outside. The CDC and the LA Department, County of Health, both say that children do not need to be masked outside. There is a lot of evidence from medical, from science, that does not support masking children outside. Also, if these children are being tested weekly and they're masked, I don't understand the rationale of still making these children go outside. It's not good for their mental health. They want to see their friends' faces. And, if they're doing PE outside in a mask, it's hot out here in LA. I think it's very, I think it's extreme. The school district for the whole 18 months has been very extreme. And of course, they're taking a lot of demands from UTLA, the teachers union.
Arash, is a parent of both a student at LAUSD and one at a private school, has there been a difference in how prepared you feel that these two schools are handling the full student body coming back and all of that?
I think it's a great question. I think there's a huge, huge difference. And I think this goes back to what we can learn from each other. And frankly, what LAUSD is doing today is what the private schools did in the thick of COVID. So we actually benefited because my son was going to a private school throughout the whole time. And they did exactly what LAUSD is doing about a year and a half later. They had protocols. They had masks indoors. If a kid, God forbid, was suspected of getting COVID, that room, they didn't shut down the whole school, but that room of 10, 12 kids went home for about a week, week and a half, and then it was virtual, and then we came right back. It wasn't great, but it was the exact right thing to do. So I think having been through that for my son, we were very prepared, and we do think that there are a lot of great lessons that the schools that were open during COVID can teach LAUSD because they figured it out early, and we hope that this LAUSD follows the same sort of blueprint, and I think everything will be fine.
Misty, you had a year and a half of seeing all this happening with your kid, too young to really go to full instruction. Did that prepare you, do you think, to get ready for this day?
Absolutely. There's no doubt that seeing the bumps along the way that LAUSD experienced last year, we were hesitant. We always had the intention of attending our neighborhood school, but there was a time early in 2021 where it seemed like, the district hadn't released a plan. There was a fear of the unknown. Families that we knew who were originally intending to attend the local school were opting into private schools. And so, we began questioning our decision, absolutely. And, are we doing the right thing by our child? And so we did do a last minute scramble earlier this year and applied to a private school, and we did get accepted, but something about that wasn't sitting well. I felt almost like are we letting our local school down? Seeing the plan came out, I have faith, and I'm hoping that the procedures LAUSD has in place will mitigate those larger scale outbreaks. Perhaps it's a bit of a false sense of security, but I'm definitely seeing back to school photos of friends and families from other states and cities, and the differences are striking. So I'm thankful LAUSD has implemented, strict mask policies, mitigation procedures, and then the recent announcement for mandatory vaccinations is sort of just icing on the cake. So speaking to what the gentleman earlier was saying, fingers crossed it's smooth sailing, and hopefully LAUSD can, as private schools did, serve as the model. Hopefully we can serve as the model moving forward for other districts.
I want to thank you all for talking to us on such a busy day with the kids back in school. Dana Rosenthal, Arash Farron, and Misty LeGrand, parents of LAUSD students on day one of the new school year. Thanks to you all.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Thanks very much, Steve. Appreciate it.
Well, not only students, but teachers are also entering a brave new world as well. After more than a year and a half behind a screen, they're now the ones responsible for enforcing those mask rules and keeping kids socially distanced. Oh, yeah, and making up for what was, for some, more than 10 months of lost learning. Joining us to talk about this is one teacher in L.A., David Rodriguez, teaches ethnic studies and U.S. history at Bravo Medical Magnet High School between Boyle Heights and Lincoln Heights. Hi, David.
How's it going?
Well, that's the question for you. How's it going for you?
It's been an interesting morning. I mean, it started with a lot more traffic coming in. Students were waiting long lines to get into the school. A little bit of a chaotic morning, but it's working out, so.
Well, let's talk about those daily passes. We heard about some issues as kids were trying to enter the campus, you know, crossing, as it were, the threshold. And the daily pass they had to have up, or the parents had to have it up on their phones to prove that they had tested negative. What kind of problems were you having with that?
I think that one of the biggest problems that I know I saw when I was trying to come into campus, because everybody's using it at the same time. They're trying to load and get that daily pass. So the system, I think, was overwhelmed for a brief moment, and you had to constantly refresh the screen. I know students had a hard time trying to log into it for that same reason. It's just because right now we have a huge district and large amount of students and teachers and staff that need to access it to be able to get into schools, and they're all doing it at the same time.
You know, COVID testing is available on your campus as well. Is everyone getting tested, or just the unvaccinated students getting? I mean, what are the rules there?
Everybody's getting tested. It's LA Unified decided no matter if you have your vaccine or not, everybody will get tested. Everybody's wearing masks. And here in our site, today is our testing day here at our site. So what they're doing is period by period sending alphabetical order. Like the second period was A through C, and students will be sent there. Teachers will be able to do it during their break times to go get tested, but everybody on campus should be tested by the end of the day.
Do you know how many of your students are vaccinated?
I do not. I didn't get a chance to ask in my first two periods today. And it's a question that I'm a little worried of asking because of the political atmosphere around that, even though there shouldn't be any politics behind that. But there's a lot of weight that carries with that. And I don't think I'm going to ask my students that question. I am going to encourage them to get vaccinated. And I plead to kind of like, because I tell them about my experiences. I recently have family members that one family member passed away this weekend in Mexico due to COVID.
Mm.
And I have other people that have been severely affected by it.
I'm so sorry.
No, thank you. I've been affected by it. So I usually plead my students by using that and kind of talking to them about that and how the vaccine is beneficial. But that's as far as I go. I'm not going to say you need to do it or attack a student that decides not to do it. I mean, there's only so much I could say or do.
I want to ask you, as a teacher, as far as LAUSD goes, and, you know, as the preparation and trying to get everything ready for this full in-person instruction that, you know, they've talked about for a couple of months now, several months. Do you think they did a good job? I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot because they're your employer.
Yeah.
But how do you think it's been managed?
My whole thing right now is because this is relatively new to all of us. We have no idea how this is going to work. We're all kind of walking into the situation blind, even though we've had time to prepare. I think the preparation and the rules, and at least in my school, what I'm saying, the ideas are great. Like the attempts and the things they're trying to put out there and the structures they're creating, I think they're good structures. It's just implementing. I guess the theory is great. Implementing, we're going to have some hiccups along the way. And I got a feeling it's going to be like this for about a week until the schools and the district kind of finds a way to mainstream everything.
You think there will be some ebbs and flows, but it'll work itself out.
Yeah, I think so. Especially, like, I know I'll speak for my staff here and for the people here. My administration is working really hard to clear this stuff out. They seem to be running around pretty well, working with the teachers, and all of us are trying to find a way to make sure that this kind of works out, because we don't want to go back. Like, I personally don't want to go back to doing Zoom teaching. I like being in front of my students, even though I'm a little bit nervous about being in a situation where I'm around a lot of people. But I still rather be here than be in front of a screen looking at a bunch of black boxes for another semester.
Are you worried about an outbreak? I know that there have been outbreaks at other systems across the country. There was one at a district outside of Atlanta where hundreds of coronavirus cases were amassed, you know, among students and staff members and just the first couple of weeks of school. Are you worried about that here in L.A.?
Yeah, that's in the back of my mind. And I think it's in the back of the mind of everybody who's involved in this, the possibility of that happening. And it scares me. Like, I'm talking to my students about that. It scares me that that could happen. It scares me in the situation that we're in. But as long as we follow our own path and like do what we need to do, wear the mask, social distance as much as we could, wash our hands, we should be okay. And that's kind of what I've been pushing my students to do.
How are you approaching this new school year as a teacher? I mean, you've got an academic agenda. You've got a lot on your plate. You got teaching to do.
For me, I think this year in particular is going to be a lot more about social emotional stuff. Like, tomorrow, one of the things I'm going to do is have what I call a community circle, where I'm going to have students kind of sit around and talk about this experience that they've had with COVID. This situation, how they feel about coming to school, how do you feel about where we're at right now? And just allow those emotions to kind of come out, to kind of work on the healing process of it. And as my principal kept saying in the last meeting we had, it's going to be a semester of flexibility. I have to be flexible to the situations and that we're in and give students opportunities and space for them to be able to deal and kind of process what's going on.
Attention, Bravo Knights and Lady Knights. This is a repeat of our last announcement that we are still on break. Break time will end at 10:59.
Sorry about that.
No, don't apologize. That's school, man. You're at school. It's all right.
Yeah.
David Rodriguez, I want to thank you for coming on. You teach ethnic studies and U.S. history over at Bravo Medical Magnet High near County USC. Thanks for your time, David. Good luck to you this school year.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for allowing me to speak to your audience and everything.
Well, the folks tasked with making back to school possible and safe for students in Los Angeles Public Schools are the superintendent, of course, and the district administrators. And all of those people are overseen by the LAUSD School Board. One of the members of that board is with us right now, Dr. George McKenna. He's a longtime presence on the board. He represents District 1, which runs from South Los Angeles through Mid-Wilshire out to West LA as well. Dr. McKenna, thanks for coming back to the program. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Steve.
You represent a district that includes a lot of low-income residents of color. That is a demographic that has been affected by COVID probably more than most. Higher case counts, more death in the community, tragically. It also has a lower rate of vaccination and more reluctance to send kids back to school. What kinds of concerns are you hearing from parents in your district?
Well, the challenge is a cultural thing as well as an experiential thing. I was raised in the South in the days of segregation, and the black community in the South, in New Orleans, Louisiana, did not have access to medical services from regular hospitals, and didn't have the money to afford it. So we rely on home remedies and grandmothers, and we had potions and things that people would make and rub on you, and you thought you'd feel better. That wasn't the best, but that's what was affordable. That became a cultural thing. And then after we discovered that medical practitioners had sometimes experimented on us, it became somewhat challenging for us to accept that without really trusting the medical profession. Now, much of that has gone away. But there's still a lot of my colleagues from the South who've come out here and still don't feel that vaccination is for them. And there are people here in Los Angeles that are still not being vaccinated. And the black community is leading percentage-wise and not being willing to be vaccinated. So my message has been, you've got to be vaccinated. And as much as I love my community, that means I have to stimulate them, motivate them, agitate them, even aggravate them to the point that they want to be vaccinated. And we're trying to open schools and bring our children back. So with that, I'm saying we're planning for a full in-school return to campus. And we will have a combination of in-school and for those who wish or insist on staying at home, we have an option for that. It's called independent study, and you can still log on. But it's much better for students to socialize with their colleagues, to be on campus. We are the safest place in the neighborhood. We sterilize the playground equipment for elementary schools every day. We have an air conditioning, new air conditioning put in. And so we're very confident that our schools are sanitized enough that there will be no spread of the virus. But persuading people to be vaccinated is the biggest challenge.
Well, not only are you persuading people to be vaccinated, you're mandating it in your school district for faculty and administrators, right? For teachers and principals and everybody else by October 15th. So explain,
that is correct.
How is that going to work? I mean, will any holdouts not be allowed on campus after that date?
If that's the law, that's what's going to happen. It's just like you have to have a credential to teach. But I don't have a credential. Guess what? You can't teach. And until you get vaccinated, you can't come in a classroom and teach children. There's only two ways you cannot be vaccinated. You have to have a medical exemption, or you have to have a religious exemption.
The vast majority of kids will not be vaccinated, or at least kids under 12 years of age who go to your campuses. And the new rules say that unvaccinated students must be tested for COVID before they can come on campus. Who's going to oversee that to be able to make sure that these kids have their tests?
We do at the school site. The principals are ready for that. We've got the logistics all laid out. We're not being surprised by this. We know who our students are. We have COVID tests. If you haven't been vaccinated, you have to get a COVID test. If you have a negative COVID test, fine. We don't test you but once a week or maybe once every 2 weeks. The younger you are, the less likely you are to get it. But you still have to wear a mask. We're still protecting ourselves.
Do you know how many children have been tested so far? Do you have a number?
No, I don't. Staff, over 60,000 people have come through already, and that includes staff, students.
We've heard, sir, informally from an LAUSD official who was on a Zoom call with parents that only about half of students at LAUSD have been tested so far. So that would indicate to us that there are thousands of kids, perhaps, unable to return to school right away without that test.
They're able to come to school. If they show up without proof of vaccination, we will give them a COVID test.
Everybody is forced to get a test on the campus if they don't have that test already?
Yes.
But will they be allowed to stay at school while that testing is happening?
If they're young, yes. If they're older, we may say, until this result comes in, you have to go home and come back.
And then they do distance learning, or they miss a day, 2 days, 3 days of school?
They can do distance learning. Yes, they can log into independent study.
Tell us what the protocol will be. The children will have to wear masks on campus when they're in school, correct?
Yes, except when they're eating, and they can lower the mask.
All right. So now I'm thinking about the cafeteria line, right? When they're eating, because the cafeteria, you and I both remember, can be a very crowded place.
Yes.
Do you think that that's a possibility of danger, you know, for some COVID outbreak down the road?
Well, how can I say that? If we're all masked, then you shouldn't be able to be infected. Many of our cafeteria, at least eating areas, are outdoors anyway. We're trying to make sure that none of our children get affected and infected and then become contagious. There are some concerns. There's no question about it. But we'd be foolish to say we got it down pat so that nobody has to worry. I worry. But that doesn't mean I don't show up.
Dr. George McKenna represents District 1 on the LAUSD School Board, runs from South LA all the way through Mid-Wilshire and out to West LA. Sir, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate your interest. Thank you.
Well, that's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow, a new law says cities and counties will have to provide a way to collect compost, recycling organic waste starting next year. How's all that going to work? That story tomorrow on GLA. All of our stories, by the way, are online anytime at kcrw.com/greaterLA. Subscribe to the podcast there, too. Tell us how you're doing. And if you have a story idea, throw it our way, too. kcrw.com/greaterLA. Jenna Cagle, Catherine Barnes, Sonia Geis, Ray Guarna, Sue Margulies, Phil Richards, Mario Saavedra, Amy Ta, Christine Comito, Mike Vogel, and Christian Bordahl, all instrumental on the show. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for your ears. Have a great day.